him.
Right.
And like, why? Why not just have it laughing? And
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Thank you for tuning in to Bacon Smiles. Welcome to our very first podcast.
Ever.
I apologize in advance that I am not a seasoned broadcast professional. I am Steve Patira, founder of Bacon Smiles Ministry. And to my right is my good friend, Evan.
Shaw Mumford.
Shaw Mumford.
That's right.
Say that 10 times fast.
It's a mouthful.
Well, hopefully there'll be a lot more laughing and fun. We look to kind of add a little bit of cheer to lives, and I like to laugh.
I love to laugh, too.
I mean, I think that's the whole point of life. It's kind of what we got, why we got into ministry in the first place.
Absolutely.
For those of you who don't know, I am a youth minister at St. Bartholomew's Church in Manchester. And I really do it because I'm a big goofball and no one has more fun than I do.
I don't think anyone, all the kids in my class are like looking out the doorway going, what's going on in his classroom?
So just kind of break down what we have going on for a show today. A few key points we want to touch on are Steve Harvey.
That's pretty relevant right now.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, we'll get into it. For those of you who haven't seen the Miss Universe, there's about 4 million YouTube videos. Yeah. So, also, a few other points we want to touch on.
We were going to talk about some upcoming Christmas music. We're going to talk about some Christmas music now available in stores that...
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe
pretty good quality.
Some things that you want to play around the Christmas tree.
That's right.
This Christmas season.
Right. Coming up quick.
Yeah.
Last minute downloads.
Oh, man. I got to get some shopping done. And also, we'd also like to have a part of our podcast be the saint of the day. And today, Monday, December 21st, the saint is Saint Peter Canisius. And we want to be able to speak about how cool he was and the reason he became a saint. So, getting into it, Evan.
Yes.
Have you seen this Steve Harvey stuff?
To be honest, I did not know what happened last night. I wasn't watching the show.
Nope.
And then all of a sudden I saw on Instagram, singer-songwriter Laura Story posted a picture of Steve Harvey on TV and just said, no.
How many O's were in that no?
There are maybe 15. And everyone had the same reaction of me of, what just happened? So I checked Twitter, I checked YouTube, and it didn't take long for me to figure out what had happened of him calling the wrong winner for Miss Universe.
Whew. I mean, as far as mistakes go, and I
just
mean...
Just the fact that she got crowned.
Yeah, oh yeah, crown on the head. I
had to have it removed.
Yeah. I mean, here's the question. What would have happened if she decided she didn't want to take the crown off? Like,
right.
Where could it
have
gone?
That would have made really good broadcasting.
I think so. I think we would have
seen... The ratings would have gone really well. There would be a lot of tweets, even more.
Yeah. And just to think about, like, how she was willing to take it off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it kind of goes along the lines of, you know, she still felt really good about Miss Philippines winning.
Yeah.
And the other funny thing was, did you see the apology tweets from Steve Harvey?
I did. And I love that. He was very humble about it.
Yeah.
I saw a video where he was actually backstage after the event.
Mm-hmm.
And he was apologizing and saying, I'm very sorry for my mistake. I screwed up. You're an incredible person. You did nothing wrong. You know, congratulations for getting... First runner-up. That's a pretty cool prize.
Absolutely. You think
but
about
just
all
being
the,
humble
all the
about it,
are, yeah,
owning
involved.
Up to his screw-up,
mm-hmm.
but still, you know, showing, you know, you still shine.
Absolutely. And the other really cool thing, and the whole thing was, we just actually were just looking at a picture of the card that he had to read.
Mm-hmm.
Can someone explain to me... Why Miss Philippines' name is the smallest name on that card. Like, He went with the second name on the thing because it was bigger than Philippines. It says Miss Universe in giant letters, almost as if it was just like the header of the card.
Right.
Like it looked like branding, like the postcard was branded by Miss Universe.
Yeah.
It was, just think about, like, maybe you should circle it, make it bold, like make it bigger. But no, the picture of the card that he was reading off of showed that the smallest font on the whole card was Philippines.
So for our listeners, if you know anyone coordinating the next Miss Universe event, please have them check out our podcast.
Absolutely. And they can email us at show@baconsmiles.org. I'm sure we will not hear from anyone.
We will not hear from anyone.
I'm not sure anyone is listening to this right now. Well, right now, definitely no one. Other than you and me and my dogs in the other room.
MJ.
And she'll listen.
She'll probably tune in.
Yeah.
Our best friend.
Well,
thanks, MJ.
Yes. Shout out to all three of you listening, I think. If there's more, email us. Just let us know.
One thing that really got me, though, looking on Twitter in response to the whole Steve Harvey flub. I don't know if there's an actual title to it. Sometimes they say something gate, Steve Harvey gate or something like that.
Mustache
but,
gate.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Baldy gate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was the amount of hate he was getting and just the anger that was coming out of some of the people. I mean, I understand, you know, the humiliation behind that being on stage.
Yeah.
And not saying I understand from, you know, being in that perspective. I've never been crowned on a stage.
Yeah.
But just the amount of anger and what is wrong with you and just the accusations. And
we've all made mistakes. Come on.
Well, thinking back about all the times I've been on broadcasting and the things I've goofed up with on air, it's human. Steve Harvey just proved that he's just like anyone else of us. Just everyone's prone to mistakes. He just puts on his million-dollar suits, you know, one arm at a time, just like we do. But it was just the way that he handled it was full of grace and humility.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best way to take it on instead of just going, well, you know, it was whoever designed this car.
No, absolutely. And the thing is, and I think it kind of goes back to, he comes from a different time where we did take account for our actions. And I think it goes back to, it takes a bigger person, a better person to say, this is my fault. And man, was it big.
Right.
And for him to come out and say, no, this is totally my, like, this is my fault. And to be like, I'm so sorry. I apologize for embarrassing you. And I apologize for embarrassing myself. It's big. It's big of him, you know? Yeah. And,
it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. And it,
but
it
when
gives
you
that awkward
it,
moment.
You know,
yeah.
You grow from that.
Yep. And it's just one of those things where it's really funny to watch and joke about and everything like that. And like I said before, I like to laugh as much as anybody else.
Well, one comment that I saw that made me laugh, and it was a video of someone filming it on like TiVo. So they had rewound it and were playing it back. This guy goes, I've seen some serious crazy stuff, man. This is the craziest thing I've seen by far.
Man, he has lived a very sheltered life.
I said, you need to walk in downtown Hartford. That's the craziest thing you've seen.
I mean, has he never seen the people of Walmart? Those videos, apparently.
Black Friday.
Oh, I know. Evan and I were watching some videos before of the carnage that happens at Black Friday.
Yeah.
Christmas is supposed to be a happy time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, joyful.
What happened?
Goodwill to men.
What happened?
Underneath the shopping carriages.
These poor people getting trampled. We saw a woman putting her wig back on as she was being stepped on.
Someone was apologizing to the person with the Red Cross collection bucket.
Where did we go wrong, people, is my question.
It was when they started deciding to open the stores early on Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving. What did you do for Thanksgiving?
I got to hang out with my friends and family and then worked overnight. But my family, we all got together, and it was really nice to see them.
Nice.
What about you?
I spent the holiday with a family that's awesome to me. They've become my family. My mom and dad live in Florida, so I don't get to make the travel down. Mm. But the awesome family, the Piggotts, they welcome me and my dog
Buster
into their home. Along with my girlfriend Eva came with us. Her family went traveling to Michigan, and she. Couldn't travel with them, and she had an awesome time with us. And then we went to her sister's house for a little dessert after dinner. I feel like I grew in about 3 sizes that day.
The stomach, not the heart, like the Grinch.
Yeah, not like the Grinch,
right.
But hope not. Yeah. I think that would be a sign of heart disease.
That question for you. Do you have a picture of Buster on your website yet?
No. I can put I one up. I can definitely do that.
Buster, for you guys who don't know Buster, he's an excitable dog. What's the mix?
He's a boxer beagle mix. And
he's just so much fun.
Yeah.
Just a goofy, goofy dog.
I'll definitely add to the homepage's slideshow a picture of him from last Christmas. He has a Christmas tie. It's my it's my background on my phone. I'll show Evan right now.
Oh, that is cute.
Isn't that ridiculous? Like, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. That needs to be on a greeting card.
Yeah, absolutely. So that'll be on the website by the time that you hear this.
He's a rescue dog, right?
Oh, yeah. I adopted him when he was 9 months old from the Newington, Connecticut Humane Society. They said he may never have been in a home, that he had just bounced from shelter to shelter. I had some records to show that he was at least in 2 shelters prior to getting to the Humane Society down in South Carolina, then North Carolina, and then he made it to the Connecticut Humane Society. It's a pretty crazy story. I had been coming home to an empty home. And I called my mom, of all people, when she was still living here in Connecticut. And I was like, hey, Mom, you want to take a ride with me? I think I need to go get a dog. Mm. And I went to the Humane Society, and there was Buster in one of the pens, like, licking the grate to get to me. Like,
really?
Yeah, and I had gone there because I had miniature schnauzers before, and there was a miniature schnauzer in the crate right next to Buster, and that dog just looked so timid, and I didn't feel like I had the time to really rehabilitate that dog, and right in the cage next to it was Buster, whose name was Brent at the time. Can I just say that there was no way I was going to be shouting outside, Brent, you get in here.
Doesn't work.
I you know,
doesn't roll off the tongue like Buster.
Buster just fit, and so I ended up taking him home that day. It was great. He's been a huge blessing in my life. It's amazing how much joy a dog like him can bring around with him. Yeah, absolutely.
And you've had him for now a year, right?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's probably about 4 years.
Yeah, because he's going to be. As soon as I said a year, I was like, no.
That's, time does fly, though.
Yeah.
Let me just say that. Yeah. So he's like 107.
Yeah.
I think he's about 5
looks like he's
now,
4.
Though. Yeah. And he shows no signs of really slowing down.
Yeah.
He could sleep all day, which I think most dogs could, you know.
Right, right.
And
on his nice size bed.
He has a futon. for those of you who don't know, I am a guy who lives by himself. I have a 3-bedroom home. So, yes, my dog has his own room. people say he's super spoiled. I probably spoil him the least out of anyone in his life.
He's a lucky dog.
But so what are your plans for Christmas?
Well, I'm excited because Christmas Eve, I actually have a day off.
Nice.
Which the office that I work for, they're open partial hours, but I was really excited when I saw the schedule and I just have nothing scheduled for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
That's such a blessing.
It is. So I'm going to be singing. My church choir sings the Christmas Eve Mass, which is, they call it the Midnight Mass. They moved it an hour early, so we get out a little after midnight.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
little bit of cheating, but I completely understand and I like it a little better getting out at midnight.
Yeah, yeah.
But we sing at 11 o'clock at night, and then my grandparents come over for dinner Christmas Eve, and there's been this tradition for years where my grandfather, we all get together, my grandfather reads Jolly Old Santa Claus, which is this book that's been around for years and years and years, and this is actually a tradition that dates back to when my mom was a little kid, and he would read this story to us, or to the kids, and it's gone on now to us, where we all just get together, a whole household, sit down, cool. My grandfather reads this book. But the funny thing is, over the last few years, the storytelling of the book has gotten sillier and sillier and sillier, because it's just, he breaks out of the routine and he finds something in the drawings and the illustrations, and he just finds something quirky or makes a facial expression. By the time we're through like two pages, we're already in tears with laughter. So it's a fun tradition. And then the next day we just open presents. Everyone comes to our household because we're a big family. There's like six of us.
Yeah, so
It's just easier for everyone to come to our house than us to fill up the van. And
just, you know, rent a shuttle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Get one up from the airport. Get a little touring van.
Sweet.
Yeah, from Rent-A-Rec. So yeah, that's I'm really looking forward to that. Just seeing the family. There's always laughter when we're getting together.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's nice. You know, it's nice to be able to talk and laugh and enjoy each other.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I'm going to be doing Christmas with my girlfriend's family. We'll make some stops at some my family spots, like maybe my aunt and family friends and stuff, but the majority of the time will be with her family, and they're awesome. Good. They're great people. And, I do enjoy spending time with them. So it makes the holidays a little easier to be in, like, you know, a loving home,
right?
You know, even though my family is down in Florida, and because of my full-time job, I can't get Christmas time off because it's super busy this time of year. So it'll be cool. But seeing how you are the music professional,
I try to be.
Yeah. for those of you who don't know, Evan is a broadcaster. What stations, if you don't mind saying?
Yeah, I work for Light 100.5. These are all Hartford radio stations, Light 100.5, 96.5 TIC, and 88.9 WJMJ. And Sunday afternoons, I get to host my own radio show, which is really cool because with the radio stations I've worked for, each one you walk into and the playlist is already put together. This is like the only situation, and I'm super grateful for it, that the management trusts me with this. I walk in and the playlist is completely empty.
That's awesome.
So I like to say I don't have complete creative control, because there's a lot of times where I'll put a lot of songs together and then right in the moment I'm deleting songs and booting, you know, stuff out, putting something in last second, going, I think this song needs to be played now. And then like a minute later, after the song started, I'll get a text on my phone, oh my gosh, I needed to hear that song.
That's amazing.
And so when you hear that, you just go, okay, you know, this is something beyond me is going on. You know, this is a show that plays contemporary Christian music and gospel music and sometimes some instrumentals, but it's normally a more poppier, younger targeted audience. And we have people listening that are from the youth ministry program Steve and I are involved in. So even my grandmother, she'll tune in and once in a while go, oh, I like that song you played the other day.
Yeah, and so it's
a big variety of listening audience, and I love that. I love it when you can get that big of an audience.
And I'm sure when you started, there was probably like a little bit of pushback if people were used to whatever was in that time slot.
Right.
But they've probably grown to love it. Do you get emails or phone calls?
Once in a while. And one of the favorite phone calls I got is around Christmas time. We're generally one of the last stations in Connecticut to play Christmas music.
Okay.
And the reason why is we follow the church calendar. And generally we won't start until the last couple weeks of Advent. And this year we've been doing it where it's like, this week we'll start with two Christmas songs an hour. The following week, we'll do four Christmas songs an hour. And then, so it's just slowly building up to it. This past Sunday, yesterday, as we're recording this, it was six songs an hour. And then I believe on Tuesday or Wednesday, we just go all Christmas music. But it's the slow build up into the season. And I've really appreciated that. You know, as yeah. we're building into it, it's kind of a whole new perspective of just the anticipation building and the hope that's building of Christmas is coming. It's not all, you know, some stations they flip right after Thanksgiving. And there's
yeah.
there's good purpose for that. You know, I can see how that works. But then, you know, you've got this whole month where it's just nonstop, nonstop, nonstop. And then December 26th comes and it's boom, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you know, Epiphany is January 6th.
Yeah.
The Christmas season is still going on. But most of my friends I talk to, they go, it's still Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, you yeah. sing that song, The 12 Days of Christmas.
Yeah.
That's about the days that are following December 25th.
Absolutely.
So back to what you were talking about with the emails. Around Christmas time, I'll find a bunch of these Christmas songs that are performed by contemporary Christian artists. And some of them are very traditional, like the Christmas song or Deck the Halls. But mm-hmm. then there's some of the newer stuff that they write for the church. And I find through playing songs like that, I've actually been able to build a bigger audience because people are listening for the Christmas music and then they stumble upon these artists that I'm playing that I would regularly play on WJMJ that are typically a little more popular. But when people hear these renditions of songs they already know and love by these artists,
yeah.
and you get the name recognitions of, oh, this is Chris Tomlin, this is Stephen mm-hmm. Curtis Chapman, this mm-hmm. is Amy Grant, oh, okay. And then as the show continues into the new year and into February and stuff like mm-hmm. that, they go, oh, I recognize this artist from that Christmas song.
Yeah.
And I got one phone call from a guy who I think he called himself Crazy Jack. Like, it's a weird station because some of the people that call in, they'll have stage names. Like, the DJs don't have stage names. The listeners do.
Is that one of those, like, I don't know if I'm going to call you a name that you made up for yourself.
Exactly.
Like, can you give yourself a nickname? Right. I feel like you're not
he
supposed
said,
to be able to do
that. He said, this is Crazy Jack from Cell Block 6. It's like, okay,
are
hi,
you using your one
you?
Phone call, sir?
Yes. Please don't tell me this is collect. but he calls up and he says, I just want to let you know, at first I didn't like your show. Which, that kind of honesty right off the bat, you kind of brace for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get a lot of that, especially being that the radio station's listeners support it. A lot of times people call up and the first thing they say is, I've been a long time, you know,
sponsor
of your station. And it's yeah. like, okay, bring it, you know,
yeah,
what
here
do you
comes.
Got? But he says, I gave it a shot. I don't know where you're getting this music, but it's doing something, man. It's inspiring, and thank you.
That's awesome.
And then he'd keep calling back like every show, and it took a while for phone calls to come in. And
yeah.
every time I was just getting burnt out, going, man, I'm doing these giveaways. I'm doing, you know, I'm trying to excite people.
Are people listening?
Yeah,
like, what's going on?
It's kind of hard when you're sitting, like if you're on TV, like the Tonight Show, you have
yeah.
a full audience right in
yeah.
front of you. You can
yep.
see who you're talking to in
yeah.
radio. You're talking to a microphone.
I mean, we're sitting in my spare bedroom
right
now.
But I'm talking to you.
Yeah, at
so
least I'm here.
At least
yeah.
one person's listening. but radio, really, it's kind of hard to gauge. You know there are people listening, but at the same time, it's hard to really tell.
Yeah.
But he was calling up like every single week. And one day he called up and he gave me a little more background story. I'd played this song, Our God by Chris Tomlin, into Israel and New Breed's You Are Good. And just segged right into that, and it was this huge energy build-up.
Awesome.
He called up and said, so I'm an older guy. I'm here with the cool thing, again, I keep getting distracted, but this radio station, the people sit there with the radios next to them.
Yeah.
Like, they just sit there and listen. Like, the younger generations... It's something of that generation where it's
yeah.
like they just, I love that. Anyway, I digress.
So it's okay. My ADD is contagious.
Yes, yes.
So,
well, I have a little bit of ADD too. Doctors notice that pretty early. So So he said, I was working on this crossword puzzle in my recliner. He said, I can't walk without a walker. He said, those songs you're playing, I'm out of my chair. I am dancing. I got out of my chair without my walker, without any support, and I am dancing with my hands in the air.
Oh, that is so awesome.
This guy who's like in his 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
And he's excited.
Yeah.
It brought him God joy.
God is in that joy. God is in that moment, and it's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah,
that's awesome, dude. That could be like chills in that moment.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you hear that kind of call, then you go, you know what? I can do this forever. You know, like it gives you the motivation. Sometimes you sit there and go, oh, the amount of money I put into gas, you know, the amount of work I put into behind the scenes of just putting everything together and editing this and that, and is it worth it? Then it's just one phone call or one email just saying, or text message. You know, sometimes I'll get a text message from a friend. I love that song. It's like, you know what? You just made this all worth it. You know?
Yeah.
And being that you and I, you've been working in ministry longer than I have, doing the youth ministry thing.
Yeah, over 10 years.
When you get something like that from your students, I'm sure you get the same excitement.
It's such like a humbling experience, like because trying to explain that it's God in that moment.
Yeah.
Like some, you know, a lot of people are like, man, that's got to pump you up. And I'm like, it does.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I mean, I'm sure you've heard me say it all the time. Like, I'm not that great. Like, I'm just me, man. I'm just like, I have.
We can't take credit for it. We're not that good.
And it's just one of those things where, like, I do have passion for this. And I have a love in my heart for all the kids that come through our program. Mm-hmm. And when I see them struggle, oh, man, it's just like I just want to hug them and take it from them, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard and it's rough sometimes. But it's funny how this works because it just makes me go, that's why I want to start this ministry. That's why I want to get off the ground. And that's why I want to have random conversations in my spare bedroom with you that are being recorded.
That's not weird.
Yeah. Yeah, that might sound really awful. Yeah. But anyway.
We'll edit that.
All right. So, no, but the reason I wanted to start this ministry, and yeah, it's called Bacon Smiles. And yeah, that's ridiculous because it's like making smiles except for there's bacon in there's it. And bacon. I love that. But Bacon Smiles stands for Believing Always Christ Offers New Smiles. And I got that from Luke 6:21. And Luke 6:21 for those of you who don't know, is the blessed are the hungry, for you shall be satisfied, so you shall be fed. And what better way to feed you than
bacon?
And blessed are the weeping, for you shall laugh. So blessed are you who are crying, going through a hard time, for God is going to make you smile.
Yeah.
And that, it's just awesome. Like
another moment.
Yeah, it's just that moment. It's just like, you know, and I was struggling, like, what am I going to call my ministry? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, Bacon Smiles. I love it. My godfather, my uncle, who passed away a couple years ago, he always said, keep smiling for the best is yet to come. And he always said, keep smiling at the end of every conversation, mm-hmm. every phone call, every email, text message, always said, keep smiling. Never said goodbye in his whole life.
Yeah.
So that's why I have a tattoo on my, my left forearm.
All your Facebook status posts said with that
keep,
too.
Keep smiling. Yep. And that's just in an homage to my uncle, a great man who always wanted to laugh and have fun. And I probably get some of that from him and my dad too. We just come from a family that loves to smile and laugh. And and that's what this ministry is hopefully going to be. Cause I want to make people laugh and have fun and see that the reason that I am this fun loving and have this much fun is not because of me.
Right.
It's because God put that in my heart.
Right.
And that faith in Jesus Christ put that in me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny when I talk to young people and I stand in front of like eighth graders who don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny when I say, you know, if I told you where I was at your age and you told me that I was going to be someone who stood before you and said, I truly believe in the love and joy of Jesus Christ. If you could see their faces when you say aloud, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because there's that cringe,
Oh,
Yeah. What? Yeah. Like, oh no, he's got a Bible with him.
Yeah. He's going to start waving that Bible.
You know, and it's so great because it kind of, for me, I just hope that it shows in one way or another that, like,
yeah,
man, I am far from perfect.
Yeah.
I am a sinner like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. But God can use us to share his love and joy. And that's what I love about ministry.
Yeah.
And talking about sharing joy and his love, we wanted to talk about the Christmas music for the Christmas season. Now that we've gone off on like an ABV tangent, but we will get there.
We'll circle all around and we'll get there eventually. But one of the fun things that I was telling Steve about is working in the radio industry. A lot of times the record labels will send us the singles to play on the air. And around September is when we'll start getting the Christmas singles to preview and see what we think and then get them into our music library. But once you start getting those in, it's like, oh, it's that time of year already. And there's quite a few good ones this year. And over the last few years, sometimes you have to weed them out. But there's different, I like to think that there's different kind of categories of Christmas music. And one is the traditional pop or classics. And you know, growing up in my household, my family played a lot of the Bing Crosby albums and Frank Sinatra. And we also had Dolly and Kenny's Christmas album. So I just picked that up in Nashville like early this year on CD. I was so happy. So now I have that on vinyl and CD. So
awesome.
One for the home, one for the car. But
do you have a vinyl player in your car?
Yeah. Yeah. Shh. I can't fit that many people now that people are going to be wanting to ride with me all the time. But you know, I grew up with that stuff. And so it's nice to hear some of the standards, but kind of in a new modern twist. A couple of years ago, Francesca Battistelli came out with a Christmas CD, and that was really, really good. It's got a lot of the standards, but also has some new songs. And sometimes when there's a new song, I'm kind of, you know, I'm
a little hesitant.
I'm slow to adapt to it. But some of the new songs are just absolutely gorgeous. She has one song called You're Here, which my church does an adoration service the third Sunday of every month, third Friday of every month, rather. And I ended up playing that song for the service. But it's from the perspective of Mary, right after giving birth to Jesus.
Wow.
And saying, I don't know how long I'm going to have you for, but I'm going to be here watching you while you change the world. And just, it's hard to, you know, 2,000-something years later, put ourselves in her shoes.
Yeah.
Being given this, you know, this situation, the anxiety and the excitement. But having that written in a song from a mother's perspective, it's really, really moving. So Francesca Battistelli's new Christmas CD within the last couple of years, that was really good. Also for King and Country, you saw them. Was it last month or?
Yeah, they were at NCYC National Catholic Youth Conference.
Yeah, they're fantastic. They're a band that was originally from Australia. They moved when they were kids to Nashville. They've tried very hard to keep their accents. It's very impressive. but they're a dynamic band. They've been called Australia's response to Coldplay.
Okay.
Because they're huge into drums. They put on a heck of a show. Amazing instruments, or amazing vocalists. And they're great showmen.
I don't know how they keep the energy up.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd pass out halfway through it.
Right.
They're jumping off of one stage to another.
Cymbals
and they're banging things around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you could see the both of us, we're waving our hands around like you could see us.
Makes no sense.
Yep. But
two very out of shape people clapping our hands and spinning around.
We're doing the wacky arm waving. the wacky inflatable arm waving tube man dance.
That'll be $5. We'll wash your car. But they came out with a Christmas EP, which was maybe four or five songs a couple of years ago, and it's only available on iTunes. But that has one song called Baby Boy. They wrote it in the middle of summer, which, believe it or not, a lot of bands do that. Like in the summer, they'll
record their Christmas songs. So by the wintertime, it's all packaged and ready for promotions. So they have to be in that mindset at like 90 degree weather.
Yeah, in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, have the Christmas tree all plugged in and lit up, got their sweaters on. But they record the song Baby Boy, and it's just, I think it's a classic. You know, it's a few years old, but I'm ready to call it a classic.
Okay.
Other songs I was playing for Steve right before this podcast, Lauren Daigle's Noel.
Amazing.
Which is on Chris Tomlin's new project. He just released it a couple months ago. It's called Adore, Songs of Worship. And it's a live recording. It's actually, it was recorded at Ocean Studio in Nashville. And he's got a few bands that come in between his songs, and they do their own pieces. Lauren Daigle, who's from Louisiana, she's like 23, 24 years old, just comes out and belts the song, Noel. And it gives you chills. It's just really, really, really good.
It's just amazing.
And, full band, full orchestra and organist. And really, really cool. So once in a while, you know, some really good projects come out. If you're looking for something maybe a little less anointed, more punk rock.
Okay. if you like a punk rock Christmas.
Right. Yeah, something where you can bang your head to and tell your have your parents tell you to turn it down.
All right.
But you turn it up in rebellion. But you want to get that Jesus message in there. Hawk Nelson, a couple of years ago, I think it was back in 2008, they released a Christmas album, and I just downloaded it just the other day just for fun. My girlfriend and I were going to a Christmas concert that my little sister was playing viola and Hawk Nelson's this band from Canada, and they just put this, I don't know if the record label said, hey, I think it'd be a great idea if you just made a Christmas album. And like, all right, let's just make a goofy Christmas album. So that they just made this goofy response to it. But you have this headbanging, just ridiculous Christmas project with songs you don't hear too often. They have We Saw Three Ships. I Saw Three Ships Come Sailing In on Christmas Day.
Yeah, on Christmas Day.
And so you got that with, you know, the headbanging. You got Up on the Rooftop with banjos.
Nice. Anytime you can get a banjo in there, I'm
screams. But they do have, you know, some intimate moments. They sing The Holly and the Ivy.
Nice.
Which is a little slower.
Yeah.
Which you sit there going, when's it going to break loose? You know? And then they close with Silent Night, which is kind of tones it down a bit. So it is a little ridiculous at times.
Yeah.
In a fun way. We're laughing when we're listening to it. But it does tone it down a little bit for that Jesus message. And then if you like EDM, for the kids out there that like the dance music,
yeah,
there's this band called Capital Kings. And they're DJs that Toby Mac has signed onto his label. Excuse me. And they've come out with a few Christmas songs that I think you can only get through iTunes. But okay. They have Carol of the Bells, Dubstep.
Wow. All right.
Oh yeah, it's intense. You can rock back and forth to that with your fist raised. I've done that in my car a few times and gotten a few stares for that. But they do that, and then We Wish You a Merry Christmas, another dance clubby version of it. So they're cool. Pretty cool to check out. All Christian bands, different names: Francesca Battistelli, Chris Tomlin, Lauren Daigle, For King Country, Capital Kings, Hawk Nelson.
Awesome. Hit those up on the Google later. I heard you can get that on the interwebs. And check out those.
Al Gore created that, right?
Yeah, the internet. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard I need a personal computer to get one of those. Right? No? I can get through my rotary phone? No?
You can do that. Yeah. You have to dial 0 a few times. I think it's 5. Don't lose count. Don't lose count. That is the worst.
There are way too many people out there that are like, what is a rotary phone? When the hashtag used to be a pound key is all I'm trying to say.
Well, now on the radio, funny thing, I work at Light 100.5. Our target audience is 35 to maybe 45.
Yeah.
Maybe 35 to 50 if we're pushing it. But normally the soccer moms audience.
Cool.
So we're at that weird point where we go, do we call it hashtag or pound?
Oh, yeah.
Because when we have people call in, we can say, if you have Verizon Wireless.
Say that pound, 10 times fast.
Yeah, exactly.
Verizon Wireless.
Singular.
Singular wireless.
Yeah. Pound 1005, or is it hashtag 1005? I just say tic-tac-toe sign 1005.
Nice, I like it.
There you go. Problem solved. But yeah, there's a lot of references now that awesome. Kids won't get. Like,
yeah.
Pencil sharpener.
Oh, yeah. No.
There was one that's in my basement of my new house my family was moving into.
And yeah.
One of my sister's college friends saw that and goes, what's that?
Wow.
Pencil sharpener.
Wow.
Manual.
They don't. Oh, all electric pencil sharpeners at the school? They don't use sharpened pencils. Mechanical pencils?
It's been a while.
I feel like I sound like an 80-year-old man right now. What are you kids using these days? You got these pencils?
Little tablets that
you're saying you don't?
All schools are giving you.
You don't use pencils? You use glass you keep on your lap? What is this? What's this talking about?
Use I am? What's I am?
I don't know. Don't you guys talk in the phones anymore?
You don't? You just type?
Why don't you send your friend a letter?
You can't leave to look in a dictionary because your phone tells you how to spell it?
I do have to say, as someone who's like borderline dyslexic,
yeah,
spell check is awesome.
Oh my gosh.
Except for sometimes my phone
it says stuff that's really offensive I've never typed before.
I don't know if it's spelled right or not. My phone is not telling me sometimes.
No.
Or it assumes that I'm wicked wrong.
Right.
It'll separate some of my words into two words because it must not have been close.
Right. Well, one thing that was funny was before I got my new phone, I had an old phone that was really, really slow. It was only 2 years old.
Yep.
But it would take forever to do anything. So I'm texting my girlfriend. And while I'm texting, the screen freezes up. So I'm just like, well, I'm just going to keep typing.
Yeah.
Just keep going. And then all of a sudden it catches up. And then I look on the screen and I had hit send, but it had made no sense whatsoever. The words didn't even exist. It was like, we were planning.
That's one of those you just get the question mark back.
Yeah. Like, we were planning Christmas, you know, of whose family do we go to at what time kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it came out, well, I'm glad you can come. I was going to say, well, thanks for the invitation.
Yeah.
I like your family. You know, we were just started dating and everything, so we were doing those
Saturday
texts. And
you know she's probably going to listen to this, right?
I still like her family.
Okay.
2 years later. but I ended up sending, well, thanks for the conglomerate vegetarian meatball. And it was like, it just went on and on. And I'm like, what did I just say?
Did she write back? Are you having a stroke? Call 911.
She said, how? What?
Well, I was just looking at the clock. I think we've been talking for like 40 minutes.
Probably. That's a good mark.
Yeah, it's a good mark for our first podcast ever.
But about the St. Peter Canisius guy. Yeah,
so
Canisius. We had to look
a really
that up.
Professional segue he just had there.
How do we do it? Let's just do it. Let's just go. It.
Yep, just go in for it. So today's Saint Peter Canisius, and we did have to look up how to pronounce that.
Thank you, Google.
So if we are pronouncing that wrong, write letters to Google. So Saint Peter Canisius was a priest in Germany, and the really cool thing about him is that he realized that the best way to reach people was not through fancy sermons or using high-class words, but by ministering to the people. And he ministered to the sick and dying during a plague outbreak in Vienna. And he was big on being as Catholics, being judged on our actions. That the way that you know a Catholic is Catholic is by their actions. And that's part of the reason that he is a great man mm-hmm. and worthy of sainthood. So that's something that we want to do as a podcast, as a ministry, is when we do a podcast, which we're not sure how often we're going to do it.
Yeah.
But we do want to pay some homage to the saint of the day. So today's saint, Saint Peter Canisius.
Very good.
Awesome. So as just a big thank you to anyone who is willing to listen
MJ,
this far all Eva the way through. Yeah, Eva will probably listen.
Buster.
Buster has listened to this whole time. If you heard any random whining, it's because...
Or scratching on the door.
That was him trying
Don't
to...
Don't worry, we still feed him. He's well fed.
We may figure out a way to add the bloopers from the beginning. That is just us laughing at me, basically. So hopefully by the time you hear this, we will have figured out how to put that laugh track at the end of this. But thank you so much for supporting our ministry and listening to our first podcast.
Now, if anyone wants to get in touch with you about having you at their retreat
for absolutely.
Teenagers.
Steve@baconsmiles.org. Baconsmiles.org is the website that you found this on. So you should have seen it. Otherwise, I don't know how you got this. but also, if you have any ideas or topics for us to talk about,
absolutely.
Get our opinions on, we'd love to hear them. So show@baconsmiles.org or just steve@baconsmiles.org. Thank you so much again, Evan. Any final thoughts? Or
Just have a great Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas to everyone out there.
Coming up fast.
Safe and Happy New Year as well. Super glad to be able to spend it with family and friends that are super loving. And thanks so much for coming and doing this with me. I appreciate it.
Hey, you've been a great friend over the years, and glad I could be a part of this.
I am Steve Patera, retreat leader of... I can't say that much. We'll have to edit that out. Let's start over.
Okay.
That's fine. We can... we can put that at the end. Stay tuned for long beyond the credits of this podcast for... We have to be able to speak at some point.
That's right. That's ridiculous.
All right. All right, guys.